It's a special edition of the Occupy Fantasy Podcast, Week 16, and we don't have any Thursday night games.
Yeah, it's kind of weird not writing the Thursday plug and not, you know, rushing to get lineups in on Thursday night. But now we got the two Saturday games right ahead of a full right. Slate on Christmas Eve. It's going to be an interesting slate.
Yeah, for sure. As we have the Colts versus the Ravens, which sounds like a Thursday night game. So, that isn't lost here, but it is pretty weird. It's two games, and whether you're playing on FanDuel or DraftKings, it's its own slate, and you can't really play it with any other games on Sunday or Monday. So, what are your first impressions looking at both the Colts and the Ravens, and the Vikings and the Packers?
You know, one, I think it's disappointing because every single week we've had the Thursday through Monday slate. I don't know why FanDuel DraftKings just couldn't have a Saturday through Monday slate and could have made these games a little bit more interesting. Instead, now we have to, if you want to play the Saturday games, you have to play a two-game slate, which, you know, you and I both aren't big fans of the primetime slate. So if you're looking to play, get some action, you know, we can break it down a little bit. But the Ravens game, you know, 13.5-point favorites against the Colts. We're going in the wrong direction. The Packers, they're shutting it down after their playoff hopes are done. So, but it looks like two blowout-type games, which kind of makes it interesting to see if you can find some value from the other side.
Yeah, for sure. It's very weird to see the Ravens almost, you know, two touchdown favorites. But that's what you get when their opponent only has a 13.5-point team total.
Lord, yeah, that's Mike, probably the lowest we've seen this year. If not, it's close.
I think it has to be. I mean, I'm trying to think of a time I've seen lower. I'm thinking of the Browns, but right. I think they've stayed above this mark.
13.5, that's nuts. So, you know, you're looking at that game, even on a two-game slate, it's hard to find value from a team that's only projected to score 14 points. You know, maybe T.Y. Hilton, I guess, if Jimmy Smith's still out for the Ravens, but mm-hmm. Really, the Ravens side, you want to stack them up. Jeremy Maclin's likely going to be out with a knee injury. That moves Mike Wallace against the Colts, who been pretty terrible in pass defense. Wallace, had 10 targets in last week against Cleveland. Looks like a pretty good matchup for him. What are your thoughts on the run game for Baltimore? Because I know Alex Collins disappointed a lot of people last week.
Right. And, I mean, looks like exactly the type of game that – you'd feel comfortable with him given the heavy kind of home favorite, the matchup. But at the same time, exactly someone who will probably be high owned. So, I mean, me personally, you know, I haven't really a little kind of heads up. I don't really plan on playing this slate myself, right? If I did, you know, looking at it, you could see Alex Collins be one of the highest owned guys and great cash game play, but if you're not playing cash games, then could be a good fade.
Yeah, I mean, his ownership is going to be really high when you look at just the running backs available. So, you know, maybe you could differentiate playing Buck Allen possibly or Danny Woodhead, Joe Flacco even a quarterback in this matchup with a high team total. For season long, you're definitely starting him. You're starting Mike Wallace.
Right.
And that's probably the only two guys you're looking at from the season long perspective, because we do want to cover those two because of this fantasy championship week.
Sure, right. No, absolutely. I mean, if you have Alex Collins, then you're definitely feeling good in this matchup. Obviously, two touchdown favorites, should be plenty of action for him. And yeah, obviously the goal line touches were there. He failed a few times that obviously kept him out of the end zone, but you think he's good for a touchdown this Sunday. I don't know. There isn't too much else I really like here. You know, honestly, it's just, you know, as I look at the Ravens and the money line at -900, I'm tempted to almost think, like, you know, maybe go the other way around here. But I don't know. There isn't too much for me to like. I'm going to stay clear of it on the Saturday.
Yeah, maybe Jack Doyle is a trail in the second half. He gets a bunch of dump off targets. I could see that. I mean, last week he had what, 7 for 47 or something against the Broncos, a similar type of game. So, man, play. But like you, I'm not going to play this late. I'll sit back and just kind of get ready for Christmas. That's really about it, and prepare for Sunday slate. Now that we're prime
Right.
time Saturday.
Yeah, you're better off, the hour, two, three, four, however much you watch football here, you're better off putting it into some research on your Sunday slate, that's for sure. So yeah, moving on, let's actually talk about the main slate and the big slate of action here. We'll go down to the Rams versus the Titans, the Jeff Fisher Bowl. If you hadn't heard, Jeff Fisher, he alerted league officials he's looking to come back.
That's the
Oh
greatest thing.
boy, if it's that easy, then
Unemployed in real life, like if you could just do that, you alert jobs.
Right.
Like, guys, just let you know I'm looking to get a job. So,
Yeah, I let
sweet
my
annual.
friends know. Yeah, I let my friends know I'm applying. So, I should be good there. We'll see how that all plans out. But, yeah, so Todd Gurley, he delivered in a big way last week. It was a blowout. The Rams literally went for the jugular. Just an impressive all-around showing on the road. Four touchdowns. You can never really see something like that coming, but every year we have, I feel like at the end of the season and around the fantasy playoff times, there's a running back that gets in the end zone like four times. And seen it a few times now. I remember Jamal Charles did it a few years ago. I can't remember who had a four touchdown game last year, but Todd Gurley delivered in a big way. So I know a lot of people are laughing to the bank with that.
Yeah, I mean, he legit won people $1 million last week in the DraftKings World Championship. So, performance from him. And as a result, we've seen his price up $800 on DraftKings, $700 on FanDuel. And he, especially, you know me, I'm not the type of guy to play a guy after his big performance. And this is a little bit tougher matchup. Tennessee, they've been tough versus running backs this season. They're allowed the 27th most DraftKings points for the position. And, some people say, well, they've only faced a few elite running backs, but those running backs haven't gone off. You look at Carlos Hyde, 5.9 DraftKings points. Le'Veon Bell, 19.3. Fournette, 14.1. So it's not like they've played these elite backs and those elite backs have gone off. They really just shut opposing backs down, mostly because their pass defenses is that bad, and most teams can just pass on them whenever they want and not have to worry about them.
Yeah. For sure. And that, puts Gurley in an interesting spot. Obviously, I mean, he comes in ranked third in the model, and he's gonna be, if you have multiple lineups, someone you'll find a way to insert. But definitely manage expectations here, right? Like, he will be higher owned than usual off that game. And Tennessee, like you said, better against the run, a lot better against the run than they are against the pass. And they certainly know Todd Gurley just ran for four touchdowns, so maybe they'll have a little chip on their shoulder this week. But I would say I feel good about Todd Gurley, right? His price going up makes me, weigh the options now, because he costs you more than significantly more than the Kareem Hunts and Leonard Fournettes and Melvin Gordons and McCoys of the world and Ingrams, where in the past that kind of was a little closer, right? So just food for thought there. I don't think he's worth the 9K price tag on DraftKings or FanDuel. He's kind of like an 8,500, 8,600 guy to me, but that's what happens.
Yeah, and it's a bad situation for the Rams too. The huge, huge emotional win against the division rival who's, historically beaten them down pretty good, and now they have to go on the road to face Tennessee. Kind of a letdown spot, and with the price up, seems like a spot that I won't play Todd really, especially given the inflated ownership. So, but I do like Robert Woods here. He came back last week, and doesn't matter how talented Sammy Watkins is, Robert Woods is the number one guy here. Saw seven targets last week. Looks like a good player to play. Maybe stack him up with Goff. Both those guys look like good plays there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he obviously had six catches, found the end zone. Pretty much, I think, accounted for about a third of their pass attempts. Right. I think Goff only, he didn't throw the ball that many times. So, expect more of that this week. I ex would expect the Rams to throw the ball more, and then even though the Seahawks are probably better than, or in the same tier as the Titans, I don't see. It's hard to project another, 30, 40-point whooping. So, I like Robert Woods a lot. I think he's shown to be consistent when he's healthy.
Yeah, he's been great this year when he's been on the field. So yeah, I think he's a great player here. And the Rams are just 6.5 point favorites. It's not like they're double digit favorites. We can't really expect 30-point blowout. So certainly like that there. What about the Tennessee side? Anybody you're interested in? I wish we could find value in the ground game because LA is, not great against the run. The seventh most DraftKings points allowed for the position. But the way they've been splitting up the backs and Tennessee being underdogs, it may be a little tougher. What do you think?
Well, I don't mind DeMarco Murray on DraftKings. I think his price is, I mean, you're looking at, what is he, 4,600, right? So, it's a great way to save money. The volume is not guaranteed, and this is purely a tournament play. But, if the Titans, hit their team total, which is, I think, 21 points. There's a solid chance DeMarco Murray finds the end zone. I think the volume will, at least it's not like you'll get 3 to 4 carries from him unless he fumbles early in the game. So just for that price, I mean, you don't get many guys under $5,000 on DraftKings that do have that sort of upside. So I that's about it. Not overly high on it, but just kind of food for thought there.
Yeah, I brought it. I do like the idea, especially like you said, the price is pretty nice. And we had some players come out after the game last week say, "Hey, we need Marcus Mariota to kind of run the show on offense and let him call the plays because
Right, hurry up tempo.
we've talked about on the show before how outdated the offense is and exotic smash mouth. We made fun, but they've looked their best when they've gone hurry up, shotgun, and let Mariota throw it around and like he did in college and it suits his skill set better. So if that's the case, obviously boost the ceiling of that offense will give DeMarco more opportunities, play more in the pass game than Derrick Henry has. So we'll see if that's the case. If we find out where that they are going to do something like that, then I would be way more confident in DeMarco's outlook.
Yeah, and I mean, like you mentioned, it did. He's getting more snaps, right? Last week, about 77% of snaps. So interesting. I mean, we'll see. It's hard to believe the Titans coaching staff will pick it up. They've looked kind of lousy, and maybe they figured out this up-tempo thing works. It is a trap spot, like you said. The Rams coming off that emotional win on the road against Seattle. This is kind of a letdown spot. The Titans still playing for a lot here. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Tennessee is playing for the playoff spot. It really does look like the perfect letdown spot. I mean, we can't say it enough. So sometimes we say, "Oh, it's a letdown spot," and the team gets smashed by 40. But this looks to be a good situation for them.
For sure. So, moving on, we have the Bills at the Patriots, and big game for the Bills, right? Almost like the Titans here, where they need a few things to go their way to make the playoffs, including a win over the Patriots, which anyone following football the last 20 years knows how hard that is for them to kind of come up with. So, New England, their line has moved about 1.5 points, which is pretty notable here, and close to two touchdown favorites. How do you feel right now about the Bills and going into Foxborough and maybe being able to pull something off?
I don't know. The line movement is kind of sketchy with now that the 12-point favorites. We know the Pats have, pretty much dominated this series, and I don't trust the Bills coaching staff whatsoever to put their team in a good situation to succeed. So I don't know. I'm interested in McCoy here, though. We talked about it last week how you can beat New England on the ground, and I talked about on the Periscope Sunday morning that if Pittsburgh decides to run the ball, and honestly, it sounds crazy. That Antonio Brown injury was the best thing that happened to them, specifically just for that game in New England, because they were passing like crazy before the injury. And it was tied 7-7. And then when Antonio Brown went out, they said, "Okay, maybe New England, maybe I'm doing more." And ran, controlled the clock, got up in the game. And you can do that if you can run the ball. So that's why the Bills may have a shot here, and that's partially why I like LeSean McCoy is a good play.
Yeah, ranked sixth in the model. And you know, once again, when we were talking about Todd Gurley, in a way I consider them same type of tier, right? And difference is Todd Gurley finds himself probably in better situations because the Rams have just been better offensively as a unit, right? So more red zone looks, playing up with the lead. But yeah, I mean, 7,800 for McCoy on DraftKings compared to 9,100 for someone like Todd Gurley, and then a $500 difference on FanDuel. Now, McCoy is the second most expensive running back on FanDuel. Is the third most expensive running back on FanDuel. So he is pricier there. Do you prefer him on DraftKings? Are you cool with either site?
Yeah, I think you have to prefer him on DraftKings just because he likely will be down. He could see more receptions in the second half, and you get that savings from Gurley, $1,300 difference on DraftKings. So we try to highlight this every week, the difference between playing on both sites, or if you only play on one, really targeting guys who are bigger bargains on one of the other sites.
And on the New England side, obviously Rex Burkhead sprained his knee, out a few weeks, not as bad as initially expected, or as it may have looked. Expect Mike Gillisley, if you recall that name from earlier in the year, to be activated again. And just like the Patriot way, right? Like right when you forget about someone, he'll be back in the equation. And what do you make of this backfield here? And is it one that you want to kind of get ahead of here now that you have, one less prominent guy and try to guess? Or is it like, you know what, I want to see how this unfolds first?
Yeah, there's definitely an edge to be had here, especially in high-risk contests. I don't know if we'll play any of these guys in lower risk, maybe Deion Lewis, just because of his big workload he saw after Burkhead went down. I don't know. I mean, Gillisley will probably score three touchdowns in this game, right?
Right.
I don't see a situation where that doesn't happen. I don't know. It just seems like the most Patriots thing in the world. I looked earlier in the season to see, because Burkhead missed four games earlier in the year, to kind of look at the splits, but that was before Deion Lewis kind of had his coming out party this year, so not really sure we can take much from those snaps. The only thing I would note is James White saw a big bump in his snaps and his targets and his opportunities. So we could see the same here. Long story short, I don't know. I would prefer to play Lewis. I feel pretty comfortable with him. GPP high risk kind of place. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, I mean, Lewis is the safest option, I think. I think James White gets the biggest boost as far as higher risk contest goes because, you know, he'll get more volume as a result, and most of the ownership will probably be on Deion Lewis. So what about this kind of passing game here on New England?
It was kind of surprising to see Chris Hogan out last week. He played the week before in practice, and then we get Sunday morning news that he was going to be inactive. And we talked about on the Periscope that was a big boost to Gronk, big boost to Brandon Cook. So we'll have to look again this week. If Hogan plays, it'd be surprising if he didn't. Not really sure why, if he had a setback or what happened last week, but we'll have to monitor that throughout the week. Gronk is once again a top option in the model. He's actually a top three play. Cook is top 15. So yeah, once again, got to love both of those guys. I'm curious about Brady here. I don't know if we've seen the ceiling lately. His price is down. But this is the second divisional matchup with the team in late in December, which we normally try to avoid, especially for a 40-year-old quarterback. So,
right. And obviously no knock on Tom Brady, but this is the lowest I've seen him in the model in quite some time. He comes in ranked 8th, right? So, something to be said. I mean, there are a lot of options I like ahead of him that will be a little less than him, than his price value, especially on DraftKings. But FanDuel, I mean, it's weird not to like Tom despite his price going down. But like you said, second matchup with Buffalo, I think people will be on him. We'll see. Ownership projections will definitely have a influence on how I feel about him, but I think there are better options.
Yeah, man, on FanDuel, you're really going to pay 8,600 for him. Last three games, he's only combined two touchdowns, and that was including the zero touchdown game against Buffalo. I know late in the year, they've been focused on the run. You can beat Buffalo on the ground, huge favorites.
Right.
This seems like, I don't know why you'd pay that price. You can get Cam or Russell Wilson for similar price and higher ranking model.
Mm-hmm. Browns versus the Bears. We have a showdown that we've all been waiting for all week. Anyone worth noting here? Maybe Josh Gordon. He's ranked high in the model, but we've mentioned this before, and it's something we noticed very early in the season, like almost like after like week two, week three, the Bears have been pretty stingy against wide receiver number ones this year.
Yeah, and can you really trust the Browns offense at this point? And they may bench Kaiser, they may not. I don't know. Yeah, I would just rather avoid them at this point. Looking at his price, let's see here. I know he had a big price bump last week. Now this week, he's down 500 on DraftKings, 400 on FanDuel, a little bit more reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But just looking at guys in his range, I'd probably rather play those other guys with a more stable offense and not as bad of a matchup and not as low of a game total.
Right.
I don't know. You're the Jordan Howard guy. You seem to get him right more than I do, for sure. So what do you think about him this week against Cleveland?
I don't know how you called me the Jordan Howard guy.
I'm just saying because I'm literally always wrong, and you're not always wrong. So by default, you're the Jordan Howard
guy. I've been wrong the few times I wanted to be right. Let's just say that. Well, you know, he's someone that, like, you look at the model and you see him not really in that top 10, which is where we're used to seeing him. We know the Browns historically this year, despite maybe kind of easing up just a little, they've been really good against the run. And, you know, we saw Alex Collins last week, how greedy that run D was inside the 2 yard line. So, you know, he's hit or miss for me, definitely not a cash game play at all, but, they are, you know, they are pretty big favorites here, I think. What do we have? We have the Bears is a good touchdown, right? How often do you see the Bears as touchdown favorites here? So for that reason, if you do see a, hey, Brown, let's say Jordan Howard and Bears defense kind of stack because you think he could get in the end zone and get 100 yards, right? It's possible, but just the matchup in itself isn't one that I'm salivating over for J-How.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland's allowed six running backs to hit two times value on FanDuel, which is, you know, a little less than half. Mm-hmm. But you look a little closer, and four of those guys are pass-catching backs, so Joe Bernard, Theo Riddick, Buck Allen, sure. Derek McKinnon. Maybe Tariq Cohen maybe has a big game here, given that kind of propensity for Cleveland to give up big games to passing running backs. So, I don't know, just a thought as a, you know, probably a 1% play in the high risk contest. But honestly, mostly just like an avoid game. There are other games with higher totals and better matchups that you really don't need to spend your time in this game.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, no one on the Browns outside of Josh Gordon worth speaking about. Now, Falcons versus the Saints, big AFC South rematch. A lot going on here. No real major line movement, but obviously a lot of guys to consider given. Just the talent on both sides offensively. Now, let's start with Atlanta here.
Yeah, so it is the highest total game of the week, 52.5. So I imagine we'll see a lot of ownership and a lot of people stacking this game. So the biggest thing to watch is Tevin Coleman, who missed last week with a concussion. He was limited in practice Wednesday, still not out of the concussion protocol yet. If he misses the game, that's huge for Devonta Freeman, who he mostly had the same amount of playing time Monday night against the Bucks, but he did handle 27 touches.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously he would be a great value, one of the best plays on the slate if Coleman is to miss. If Coleman plays, I'm not sure if we want to play either one. What do you think if he does suit up?
Yeah, if he does suit up, I mean, yeah, this has been a tough duo in DFS this year, you know, when they are both healthy, when Freeman was out dealing with the concussion, Tevin Coleman was able to really deliver and get the volume, right? So very hesitant if Coleman plays. If not, that gives a big boost to Freeman. But on the other side, as far as Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram go. Two guys always in the top 10, and this week they're right next to each other. I'm sorry, Mark Ingram slightly ahead of Alvin here. Prices, you got $200 savings if you go Mark Ingram. Who do you like between these two?
I would probably play Kamara this week, and just because his price is down a little bit more, he's down 300 on DraftKings, 600 on FanDuel. They didn't have to use him as much last week, even though he did get a good amount of opportunities, coming back from that concussion. And just looking at the first matchup with these two teams on the Thursday night, Kamara was knocked out in the first quarter, but before he was knocked out, they were using him like crazy on the first drive, complete focal point of the offense, and the Falcons had no answer for him. So I would imagine they would go back to that. And just kind of going by that small sample, and knowing his explosive ability, I would choose to go with Kamara this week. But as always, it's really tough to go wrong, with either of these guys.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he can really go wrong. Both will probably have a good game, but Mark Ingram obviously had a buck 50 and two touchdowns and some highlight reel plays last week. So that should tilt the ownership. A lot of people can make decisions based off previous week's highlights. So for that reason, and a little bit of maybe a revenge game for Alvin Kamara as he got injured last time they played, I like Alvin this week, and that's really splitting hairs for me though.
Yeah, as always, it always is with these two guys. And if you play either one, you'll likely be happy. If you played either one last week, you're probably pretty happy with the outcome. Obviously, Ingram had the bigger game, but Kamara hit two or three times value, so hard to argue there. What about Michael Thomas? I think he's another great play here. Double-digit targets again last week. Seemingly every week he's getting 10-plus targets. And he could have had three touchdowns. For those who watched the game, if you had Michael Thomas last week, you were probably pretty upset because he had the one overturned the 1 yard line, the one overturned the back of the end zone, finally did catch a real touchdown.
Right.
The one thing I've seen on Twitter that, Michael Thomas has destroyed the Falcons in his career. But, well, for one, it's been three games. And I think for two of those games, Desmond Trufant was out. At least one of those games he was. So a little bit skewed there because Trufant is back and playing. So I don't know. Either way, he's got a high floor and one of the safer plays at the position.
Yeah, he's probably one of my favorite cash game plays. I mean, his floor is so high, and we've always known Drew Brees as someone that spreads the ball around, right? But this year, Michael Thomas and going backwards starting last week, 11 targets, 14, 9, 8, 11, 10, 11, 8, 11, 6, 11, 8, 10, 8. So I mean, he's seeing double digit targets nearly every week or very close to it. And in that offense, highest team total, I have no problem paying up for it.
Totally agree. Totally agree. If you stack it with the other side, you like Julio this week, being shadowed by Lattimore. He got the best on the first game, but that was one of the first games back for Lattimore after that ankle injury. I would think he'd play a little better in this game.
I honestly like Mohamed Sanu, who played well last time these two teams played. Had six catches, I think, definitely close to about 17 FanDuel points. So, yeah, very, very effective. I think he'll save you money, right? Because if you're paying for Michael Thomas and paying for Julio Jones, you're not going to have that much more to work with. So, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I think if people do stack it, they'll just naturally go with Julio because of who he is and stacking with Michael Thomas. So, yeah, that's a good way to differentiate and save some salary. So I do like that call.
Moving on to the Lions versus the Bengals. So we do have some line movement, and it is going in Detroit's favor.
Yeah, so they're now 4.5-point favorites. Team total is up to 24 points. So some betting action on Detroit's side here. And the Bengals are just, spiraling out of control. And we like to make fun of coaches and bad organizations here. And we see, you get the report last Sunday that Marvin Lewis isn't going to come back next year, likely.
Right.
And he said, oh, my players, they don't know anything about that. They don't need social media. And then they asked the players after the game, and AJ Green was like, yeah, I saw that shit before the game started. And I saw that.
Yeah.
I read it on my phone. It's like, of course these guys check out their phones before the game.
It's a dumpster fire. And, if you really think about, just where this team was about 2 years ago, right, when they lost to the Steelers on a pretty intense kind of divisional round showdown, right? Like that was a hell of a game, and now the Bengals are kind of a laughing kind of, they're a punchline now, right? And it's probably 10 years past the end of the Marvin Lewis era, but it seems like we're finally arriving there. And the Lions, they're in a good situation on the road. Weather isn't expected to be sunshine and rainbows here. I mean, it is only Wednesday, but it looks like there will be rain. And Matt Stafford's ranked pretty low in the model. Last I checked, around 14th, 15th. So line movement hasn't helped him.
Yeah, it certainly hasn't. That's kind of interesting to see him down that far. Probably one of the biggest reasons is because teams have been able to run all over the Bengals over the last 5 weeks. They've had a lot of the most fantasy points to running back over the last 5 weeks. So there's going to be some value here. And Amir Abdullah came back last week, missed a couple of games. He only played just 14% of the snaps. They had him on kick returns. Just when you see a guy on kick returns like that, normally you don't think he's going to be a big part of the game plan on offense. So,
right.
Riddick has had 28 touches the last couple of weeks, playing the most snaps. His price is actually down on DraftKings. I would probably think he's the best player of the bunch, and he's the highest rated in the model, so he should be a good bet here. Do you have any, different thoughts in the backfield?
Yeah, the Lions have shown that they count on Theo Riddick, and he doesn't fumble the ball like Amir Abdullah, and someone that they've utilized on third down the last few years, and this is a big game for them, right? They're looking to keep pace as we have 2 weeks left, and if the Saints can beat the Falcons, all of a sudden the Lions are right back in that wild card consideration. So I like Theo Riddick. I think this game script will go his way. I expect him to get a handful of touches and be involved in the passing game as usual. And where is he ranked in the model? Let's see. Do-do. Theo. So not that high, right? Not that high, but I mean 4,700 on DraftKings. I'm a fan. I'm buying some Theo Riddick stock this week.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. I'm not sure why he's ranked so low in the model. Maybe we'll see Tyon Green get some more work. He had 10 carries last week, but I think he ran like a 4.8 40 or something, which is just insane for NFL running back. So I'm not sure how much upside he really has if he gets 15 carries, despite how bad the Bengals defense is. What about the other side? Joe Mixon, he's coming back. He's returned to full practice. He should play. Detroit's allowed a ton of fantasy points at running back this year.
Yeah.
So if the forecast does hold and it's a rainy, cold, windy type of game, we could see both teams run the ball more. Maybe he's a good high-risk play.
Yeah.
I don't see how he could be more than 5% owned.
Right, completely. I mean, the contests you're targeting him in are definitely high risk, high reward contests. And he was out with a concussion, which doesn't really impact a running back's volume, right? When they come back, like let's say an ankle injury or a knee injury would. And Marvin Lewis, what does he have to lose? Let the kid run, man. If anything, for the sake of marketing, for the sake of the business side of the franchise, right? Like you got to showcase him. You got 2 weeks left, and if he can, put on a show here at home, maybe sell some more jerseys, get people to kind of get their season tickets for next year, because it's a tough sell right now in Cincy.
Yeah, it really is. And people forget because he's been out a couple of weeks. He had a big game versus Cleveland before he got hurt. So he did show the upside that we thought he would have when he was drafted. So I'll be curious to see. I think he's a interesting under the radar play. And any love for AJ Green at all against Darius Slay this week?
The thing about AJ Green, and it's not about AJ Green, right? It's just about this offense and where they've gone. He's third in the model, so the numbers will kind of say, hey, he's a solid option. But you look at the matchup, you look at the weather, you look at where this team is going. They just seem very, very checked out. And I don't know. I mean, look, as I look around, the high price options this week, there it's not guys that I'm really thrilled about with no Antonio Brown.
We haven't had Antonio Brown in the main slate for the longest time. We finally get him last week, and everybody rushes to play him before he gets hurt. So now we're looking at guys like DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Mike Evans. Now Crabtree is kind of an elite option on
he's
Monday
bumped
night.
Up.
By looking at this, we already kind of know how roster construction is going to go. Right? People will pay up for running back and probably play down a receiver. And now you know how you can kind of construct your cash game lineup, and also knowing that how to differentiate just easily by paying up a receiver in how
this
comes.
No, good point. It's a good point. Most people will definitely look to pay up at RB and avoid some of these high price options given matchups and just circumstance at receiver. Bucks versus Panthers, right? The Bucks, a lot of folks going on IR. It is kind of checkout season here, planning vacations, right? Doug Martin was suspended for violating team rules last week and kind of coming back into a crowded backfield. This just does not look like a good spot to think anything Tampa. But on the other end, Carolina 10-point favorites. They've been rocking and rolling, cruising, looking really every bit as good as they were at this point 2 years ago during their run. And I got to say, I was wrong about Cam Newton, at least this year. He's number one in the model. He's been phenomenal in DFS. He's got his swag back for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we recommended him last week in the Daily Plug. And, you know, I talked about him on Periscope all Sunday morning, how much I wanted him in my lineup. So he rewarded all of us who rostered him. And like you said, he's high again this week. The 10-point favorites, favorable line movement for Carolina. They have the third highest team total. Really, no one from Tampa Bay here. You just want to load up on this Buccaneers offense. You can play one, two, three guys here. The biggest thing to watch is Devin Funchess. He got popped on an end zone drop. He dropped the ball, could have had a touchdown. I didn't think he was going to come back in the game with like a serious shoulder injury, but shook it off, got back in the game. He didn't practice Wednesday with that injury. We'll see if it's serious or just kind of a little rest day for him. But if he's out, we'll see more targets for Greg Olsen, who exploded last week. We'll see more targets for Demir Bird, who we talked about. Assuming Funches is healthy, or assuming he's not, what kind of scenarios are you looking at here? What kind of stacking up do you think are?
Yeah, I couldn't agree. If Funches is out, I'm all over Greg Olsen, Cam Newton, Greg Olsen stacked right there. If Funches plays, that obviously kind of makes things. Just he adds another big mouth to feed. So at that point, maybe, you know, looking at McCaffrey or even Bird as a flyer, considering the volume he's getting, right? He's not minimum price anymore, but he's getting burnt, right? And you know, two touchdowns last week probably won't repeat itself. He'll be higher on. But to rank him, I'd say Greg Olsen is going to get my biggest boost for sure. And I don't mind paying, you know, his new price for him, especially if Funchess is out.
Yeah, he's up to 5K now on DraftKings. He was 4K last week and up a little higher on FanDuel. But, you know, if you think back to last year, healthy Greg Olsen, right? He's even higher than what his price is now. He's in that 6K range on DraftKings. You know, he's kind of priced like Kelsey and Zachary. So we're still getting him at a discount.
And there was a point in time when, like, a few weeks into the season, Greg Olsen was, like, up there in receiving yards among, you know, receivers too, right? So
right.
You know, he has that upside, and he Cam Newton loves him for sure. There is no trust lost in the few weeks that, you know, he hasn't been on the field. That's his favorite target, make no mistake about it.
Yeah, totally. I don't think you can go wrong with it with anyone here. McCaffrey pointed the offense last week, focal point of the game plan. That first drive, yeah, I think so. Six touches, eight touches, whatever it was, and you know, really scheming the ball in his hands, and he looked good. And his price is only at $400 on both sites. I think he's a great play. But like I said, what to see about Devin Funchess. If he does practice and he does play, and beat reporters don't seem too concerned about the injury, I like him in higher risk contests because a lot of people on him last week, and he killed a lot of people with two catches or one catch, whatever it was. And Tampa Bay, literally all their DBs are hurt or out and look terrible. And so, you know, we're going to give them lower ownership because of the recency bias. So I think if he's healthy, great high-risk stack with Cam, they'll have to see injury reports.
Right. And based big game for the Panthers. I mean, you're looking at these next two games can be the difference between potential first round bye or traveling week one of the playoffs. So a lot at stake here. Dolphins versus the Chiefs, so big game for Kansas City here, and Kareem Hunt delivered last week, finally, for all those people that had been waiting. And as a result, his price has jumped nearly a whole grand on both sides. So, on the other hand, big price drop for Travis Kelce. Now, with that said, funny enough, there's been, looking at the Chiefs correlation, there's a big negative correlation between Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce. In fact, he's the only, like, Travis Kelce is the only player to negatively correlate with Kareem Hunt on the Chiefs offense as far as fantasy production. So pretty much we're saying you don't ever go with both of them. You got to pick one. Who are you picking this week?
Yeah, give me
Both
Kelce this
in
week.
great spots. Both in great spots.
For sure. Both in great spots, but against the Dolphins linebackers, which is miserable in space and in coverage. Give me Travis Kelce. I think, I'm a sucker for recency bias and price drops and price differences. So we're paying a premium for Kareem Hunt this week. We're getting a little bit of discount on Travis Kelce. Hunt had the big game last week. Kelce let people down last week. It just seems to me if I'm picking one, I'll play Kelce.
Well, fair enough. I think I agree with you there, right? Kareem Hunt, that price jump kind of turns me off him here, just considering, I mean, there's so many great RB options this week, looking at guys like Melvin Gordon and Leonard Fournette and Ingram and LeSean McCoy that I'd prefer, I mean, I'd prefer to save $1,200 by going with Melvin Gordon over Kareem Hunt. So I like Travis Kelce more between the two.
That's fair. Okay, so Alex Smith, he's a top five play in the model. He's an option. Just got to be cautious because the total is down 1.5. Actually, the question I have here is on the Dolphins side and Kenyon Drake. So Damian Williams, he returned to practice. He may or may not play. If he does play, that'll put a dent in the workload we've seen Kenyon Drake have over the last three games. He's been great for DFSers, great for fantasy owners, but his price is up now to a point where he's not a value anymore. They have a super low team total. I think that the run is over for Kenyon Drake, even if Damian Williams is out again. I think he still provides some fantasy value.
This whole backfield, I mean, look, Kenyon Drake has just looked good. He passed the eye test. So, but yeah, as far as the workload, I mean, this is as huge of a game as it gets for Kansas City, right? They're going to be at home, and they got a lot to play for here. So, I don't really want to target anyone on Miami's side.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too. There's a couple of games this week where you really want to load up on one side. Here's the Kansas City side. I think the Carolina game, but yeah, don't feel the need to try to stack someone from the other side.
Broncos versus the Redskins. So, Broncos looking pretty ugly as they're trying to decide their quarterback here. Yeah, they just want to simulate till the end of the season.
Man, I bet they really wish they could descend to next season, go to the draft. I don't know. Is there anything in this game to talk about? I'm not really excited. I don't see any plays that stick out. I don't know. I'm okay with really not playing anyone here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like the one strength of the Skins matches up perfectly with the strength of the Broncos. So there's really no one I'm considering here on the Redskins. No one on the Broncos. Trent Williams after it's just ugly. This is like one. This is one of these simulate to the end of the season games. And what sucks is given FedEx Field, someone might get hurt and set themselves back for next year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast topic. Yeah, that's terrible.
Moving on, Chargers versus the Jets. So, Hunter Henry, lacerated kidney out for the season. I hate to hear that, but that does bump Antonio Gates' usage, and he's minimum price on both sites. Top five in the model.
Yeah, it's really hard not to play him, especially in lower risk contests, right? You get him at 2,500 on DraftKings, 4,500 on FanDuel. We know he has a rapport with Philip Rivers. He's not going to jump to 100% of the snaps or anything. I don't think he will, at least, but he will get a bump. And given their rapport and given this matchup, I find it really hard not to play him. And you can even go in lower risk contests, go two tight ends on DraftKings, leave the flex, you play Antonio Gates as 2,500 and get one of those higher priced tight ends in there.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a ton of sense this week.
Yeah, I like it. I'm all over Melvin Gordon this week. Austin Eckler, broken hand, likely out for the season. Should give Melvin a few more snaps and touches. And price went down a little. I think the Chargers, I think they're going to come out with a very run-heavy strategy here against the Jets. They're still in the playoff hunt. They're playing for something. They're going to feed Melvin. May as well ride him till the wheels fall off this week. And I like him. I like him a lot this week.
And I think you have a big game in the passing game now too with Eckler out. I wrote about this in the Daily Plug last week where we were trying to decide between Ingram and Kamara. The Jets are about middle of the road when it comes to generic rush defense, but they really struggled defending running backs out of the backfield. So Eckler was playing a ton of third down, a ton of passing game snaps. Melvin Gordon now will approach his last year's usage where he was playing pretty much 100% of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
He could approach 30 touches in this game, could see 5 or 6 catches, goal line work. He just looks like an incredible value to me this week. It's kind of crazy how this fantasy season has turned out, right? Where can you imagine if before the season started, we were like, in week 16, we'll need an Austin Eckler injury for Melvin Gordon.
Right. Yeah, so without a doubt, plenty of volume for Melvin Gordon, and he's been as consistent as it gets when it comes to touches. I expect him to be over 20 again this week, and I like his chances on finding the end zone and saving you some money from Kareem Hunt if you go his way.
Yeah, totally, totally. I don't think there's anybody from the Jets side here that looks good. The backfield's a mess, and I know Casey Hill gave the touchdown to Tyreek Hill last week, but he's been pretty solid. I'm not sure you want to play either Robbie Anderson or Jermaine Kearse this week. What about Keenan Allen? He hurt his back last week. He looks like he should be good. Any interest here this week?
Yeah, if he's healthy, I'm interested. So definitely monitor his status going into Sunday. But, Keenan Allen, Antonio Gates, Melvin Gordon, I'm pretty high on the Chargers to kind of bounce back after lackluster showing last week.
Yeah, I'm completely on board. And we're just looking here, 24.5-point team total. A big fan of the Chargers this week.
Jaguars versus the Niners, and the Jaguars, their dream season keeps on rolling. They do have another injury to deal with. Marquise Lee, ankle sprain, likely won't play, but Allen Hurns returned to practice and should be good to go.
Yeah, so kind of switching one off of the other. Be curious to see it. I don't think anyone will play Allen Hurns. Mm-hmm. If he is back, but great matchup against the Niners. I think he'd be an underdog type of guy. Keelan Cole had the ridiculous game last week, and everyone looked
right
at him at his cheap price tag. I think people forget about our boy D.D. Westbrook, who disappointed last week. You'll see a common theme here: guys who disappointed last week who should bounce back.
Right.
Played a ton of snaps, only got 2 targets, which was just a weird situation. So I think there's some value to be had in this past game.
Yeah, I like going to D.D. again and kind of fading the recency bias, which a lot of people will chase with Cole. Fournette back in practice, he'll play. Good matchup. Almost great matchup against San Fran. So top 5 in the model. Reverse line movement on the Niners, though, and Jimmy G's look pretty good, but you're not going to at all think of playing anyone against the Jags.
No, if you've been on Twitter at all, if you read any articles, everyone's just salivating over Garoppolo's play so far. And, how much money is he going to get and all this. All right, pump the brakes. He's played the Bears, he's played the Colts, and he's played the Titans. Like three pretty bad pass defenses. Let's see how he does against the Jaguars. He has another tough matchup next week. I forget who they play, but there's another tough matchup. Let's see how he closes out the season against legitimate NFL defenses.
It's a big test. Yeah. Big test. Yeah, it'll be a big test. I am definitely gonna bet on the Jaguars here to kind of deliver on their fantasy defense. So they've been consistent. But yeah, I like Leonard Fournette. And I do like Westbrook again. Seahawks versus the Cowboys. Wow, what a nightmare scenario for Seattle against the Rams, Week 15.
Yeah, that single-handedly booted a bunch of people from their fantasy playoffs. That rode Russell Wilson there. They couldn't protect Russ at all, and he played poorly, and the defenses got ran over, so the offense couldn't stay on the field. Just a tough, tough game all around. I'm sure we'll see him bounce back this week. Russ Wilson is the top two playing the model. There's some crazy line moving for Dallas in this game. They moved from 2.5 points favorites to 5 point favorites. Seattle's team totals down more than a point. What do you make of this game? Do you think they can come back from last week's horrific loss and get back on the fantasy train?
You know, it's going to be in Dallas. Ezekiel Elliott is back, and as banged up as Seattle is, I think Dallas is in a great position to really kind of take the life out of them here this week, and I expect to see Zeke get 20, 25 carries. Dak ranked high in the model. Team total up by 1.25 points. I don't ex Seattle can, they will have a better week this week than they did last week, but if anything, I'm more high on Dallas this week.
Yeah, me too. Big fan of Dallas this week, and we talk about Zeke is in ridiculous shape. He, trained in Cabo for 6 weeks and pretty unusual workout plan, but teammates are saying he looked ripped.
I'm sure he's angry, yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a good spot for him. Bobby Wagner's banged up, and there's some the Seattle side. Earl Thomas said, "Well, Bobby Wagner shouldn't have played if he didn't look healthy, and backup would have been better." So that's not something you want to see
You're right.
from your defense. But that just bodes well for Zeke in this game. Top two playing model. I would have no questions firing him up after his suspension.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dallas right in the playoff hunt, right? If Atlanta loses, it opens a lot of things up. And I see a heavy dose of Zeke this week, one of my favorite running backs, and I'd pay up for him. So now we have a little MLB preview, Giants versus the Cardinals.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Giants and Cardinals baseball teams will probably score more points than these two teams. More runs than these two teams will combine. But I don't know. You look at last week, the Giants, out of nowhere, I don't think anyone saw that coming. Because seemingly every week we say, okay, Giants team totals up a point this week, betters on the Giants, and then you know what happens. But last week, they followed through on it. And
crazy.
I just don't know what to make of this passing game because Shepard got 16 targets, Ingram got 13 targets, Roger Lewis got 10 targets. Tavares King had three targets. He scored two touchdowns. Just an unbelievable game all around. It looks like Patrick Peterson. He never goes to the slot, so he won't be on Sterling Shepard here. But I just don't know what to make of this passing game this week.
Yeah, they showed up. It was a division rivalry game. It's probably the last game they'll show up for all year. So
Right.
now traveling to Arizona. I'm not going to sit here. I mean, there are too many other games I like this week to kind of pull hairs and try to decide. Now, Giants team total is up, like you said, but when I look at Evan Ingram, there are other tight ends I look. You look at Shepard and Lewis, and I mean, they're just the volume was there. It has been there the last few weeks, but I'm not going to bet on it on the road against Arizona.
Yeah, just we talk about letdown spots. Get up for your division rival and win the last game of the season in a lost season, and now to travel all the way to the West Coast to play a team that's not even that great. So
Right. And they
I would
still
let other
lost to the
people.
Eagles, right? And they still lost to the Eagles.
Right, right.
But hey, kudos to them. They did show up. I'm staying away from pretty much everyone here in this game. Larry Fitzgerald, he's always in play, right? Because he's Larry Fitzgerald, and he's about to have another 100 catch season here. Do you like him for his price this week?
Yeah, I think so. Just looking real quick at his price, he needs 8 more catches for 100 for the season. Fitz is kind of fine here in the model now. Fitz has 6,800, 7,500. Yeah, I mean, he's basically the same range he's been all season. But now Drew Stanton's under center. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure I'll find a way to play him. Just like you said, 40-point game, but really not a lot to like in this game.
Right. Okay, moving on. Christmas Day, we have the Steelers at the Texans, and obviously this is Going to be without Antonio Brown, who will probably miss the rest of the regular season here, right? That gives a little boost to the other guys there. Anyone in particular you like as they face one of the worst pasties here in the league?
Yeah, I think Eli Rogers is the guy I would look at, especially on DraftKings. Probably not on FanDuel. Not the greatest red zone receiver as we saw at the end of the Patriots game, but he's just $3,800 on DraftKings. He gets one of the best slot matchups in the league. He'll see a bump in targets, and just given the matchup, I think he's in play here. Probably not. Maybe lower risk contest. I don't know. He's not guaranteed targets, but I think a lot of people will go to Juju Smith-Schuster here at $6,400 on DraftKings. In this great matchup, I'd be fine with either one.
Yeah, I like either one here. I like Juju just a little bit more, but obviously he got the biggest price bump. So Le'Veon Bell, top play as always. This should only see more targets with AB out, right?
Yeah, I mean, he could get 20 targets in this game. We'll see. It's kind of a shame because James Conner, the backup running back, he's hurt. And he was
Right.
playing pretty well. So
He was.
we could have seen a scenario where Le'Veon got a ton of receiver snaps and James Conner was in the
Got
backfield.
more,
But
yeah.
yeah, so I
No,
don't know if
that's
that'll be the
tough.
case now with, yeah. So, I don't know. We didn't talk about Martavis. Do you like him this week? He had a nice touchdown last week.
He did, and it was good to see him look like he was having fun playing football, right? The matchup is obviously great, and hey, they need him now, so I don't mind. If you're throwing in a cheap satellite, I'm not gonna. You're not gonna make a living going with Martavis Bryant here, though.
Yeah, that's true. He's actually relatively high in the model, the highest definitely he's been all season. So
Right. Yeah,
he had an
I didn't
$1,100
notice
price bump
that.
as well. Yeah, so I don't know. I like it more and more the more I think about it. And just like you said, it's not all stats and numbers. He did look like he was having fun last week. Ben trusted him a bit more, giving him some 50-50 balls to go get. So yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. What about the other side of this game in Houston? I
Yeah,
think
Joe
D.
Hayden returning. Joe Hayden returning for Pittsburgh, right, should give them a boost. And D Hop's still top play in the model. He's been a top play for a long time. Yeah, he gets the volume there. I don't know. I kind of already showed my hand earlier. I said, this is a week where I'm looking to find more value in receivers. So maybe I'm not as high on Hopkins as you are.
Yeah, I'm pretty big on this weekend. I just think that, one, I think the Steelers are just historically with Mike Tomlin, they've disappointed on the road repeatedly. And now without Antonio Brown, I can see a case here. And no one's had an answer for Hopkins this year. Jalen Ramsey hasn't, Patrick Peterson hasn't, damn sure of Rusty Joe Hayden, the rest of the Steelers secondary won't either. So, I mean, Hopkins once again could get 10, 15 targets. So I like him, and especially if you're playing in the Pittsburgh receivers to throw him in on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a stupid year, so any case I'm making against him is literally just clouded because, I mean, as the Texans have gotten worse, he's kind of maintained his level of play, and he's going to end up with probably a 1,500-yard season and maybe 14 touchdowns. So, hell of a year if you got him in fantasy, you keep rolling him out. And then we have the Raiders versus the Eagles. Christmas Day, prime time, will be fun to watch, and obviously not much in the way of implications here, but Nick Foles looked like he could hold his own, and threw four touchdowns versus the Giants, top three in the model against one of the worst pass defenses in the league. Philly has a top three team total. How are you feeling about him this week?
Yeah, it's almost if they have a really good team around the quarterback and a really good system, and it's not necessarily all the quarterback doing everything. I love the hidden parts of it, but just no. But seriously, like I mean, it's a great offensive system, great weapons around them. Peterson has put his guys in a great position to succeed, and Foles, he's shown when he's in a good system. We saw with the chip guys off. He's in a good system. He can make the throws and. He can be a good fantasy quarterback. He's a top three play in the model if you're playing some type of slate that includes the Monday game. So Raiders are just bad defensively. I'm fine with playing them this week. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I like Zach Ertz. I think really everyone here in the Philadelphia passing game is a great play. So I am very confident in them, and this is where I'd go to if you're playing just the Monday only. slate, I'd be okay with rolling out three Eagles here.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. If you played this Monday only slate with two games, play three or four Eagles. What about Crabtree? The one thing I'm kind of concerned about, ridiculous targets last week, 17
Right.
targets. Cooper's probably not going to play again. But the one thing, Donald Penn, he got hurt against Dallas. He's out for the season. This Eagles D line, you've been eating up opposing offensive line. Derek Carr is just not throwing the ball downfield. I mean, 17 targets, and Crabtree had what, like 40, 30 yards or 40 yards or whatever it was. So I don't know if he doesn't catch two touchdowns, I'm not talking about him really that much. So I don't know if he'll live up to expectation this week.
Yeah, he's high in the model. He has that going for him, and the volume there as far as target per production, you don't see that often. But I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it if you're throwing out, Nick Foles and Zach Ertz and Michael Crabtree in that mix. He's the only Raider I'm okay with, though.
Yeah, totally agree. The season is not what many fans expected after last year's success, but
it's a wash. They're done.
But yeah, for real. But yeah, I mean, Eagles all over this game, I think.
There we go. So now it is time for our bold predictions, unscripted, no rehearsal here. We kind of go off the cuff. So I will. I'll start out here with my quote unquote upset pick, and it's going to be dumb, but I'm going to pick the Colts to beat the Ravens.
All right, that was actually dumb. I thought you were going to say something a little less dumb, but that's any particular reason why you think that's going to be the case?
Honestly, the only reason is just the fact that the money line is so heavily favored for the Ravens. It's hard to fathom, but. No reason in particular. I just like the return you get. It's not often this sounds like you're betting on early season college football game with these odds. Like you're betting on Central Michigan to beat Ohio State.
Yeah, seriously, yeah, you can. Yeah, 45-point underdogs. I don't even know if that's bold concerning Mike Tomlin's history, but I'll say Houston beats Pittsburgh outright this weekend.
I'd say that's pretty bold. It's despite them losing Antonio Brown, they should still have. I mean, look, they're still the Steelers, right? And AB is probably most of the team, but I think I can let that one slide. What about on the fantasy side of things?
All right, I'm gonna go to Melvin Gordon. I think he outscores Fournette and Gurley. I don't know if he outscores Zeke, but I'll say he'll be at lower ownership, but he will outscore Hunt and Gurley.
I like it. I was going to go with Melvin Gordon, so you took that right out of my mouth. But as far as my pick here, it is, kind of going back a little earlier in the podcast, I think DeMarco Murray will deliver a day. I think, this will be a prime kind of a – I don't know if the Titans will win, but it'll be a good game, and I think he'll find himself in the end zone, 100 total yards and a touch for DeMarco Murray.
I like it. And the fact that I stole your bold call, this just shows the conviction that we have in Melvin Gordon this week.
So yeah.
Really, really good play there.
Yep. Roll him out. Roll out Zeke. I like those two a lot this week. And it's almost playoff season, man.
Yeah. It's just, we got two more weeks left with full DFS slates. And I mean, I love the playoff slates, the four game slates. Those are always fun. But, nothing like the full Sunday NFL games. And, we'll be without that in two more weeks until next September. So enjoy it, soak it in. Even if you do have to watch Arizona and the Giants, you'll be missing those games in a couple of weeks. So,
oh yeah, and the fun doesn't stop here at Occupy. As you know, we've changed our daily plug for the NHL to kind of accommodate some feedback. And we're always we're young, we're new in this process. We've obviously, really believe in our model and the content we put out there, but we want to make sure it's the most digestible and the most insightful to the people listening. So any feedback, please send them our way. MLB season, before we know it, it'll be back, and we'll have a whole new kind of a fresh approach on a few things in 2018. We're very much looking forward to sharing with you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be a big year, and we have a lot of things planned for 2018, some changes here and there. I think our members and our followers and our listeners really appreciate it. You know, one of the reasons we started is we want to be transparent with our followers. We want to be, and we want, as we talk about every week, we want that 83% number of people who lose money. We want to shrink that. We want to help people go to bankroll. Any way we can make that better, as always, let us know. And we're happy to change our approach and really just get you the best content you can, the most actionable content that you can. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, like I said, we'll start rolling things out and you know, filling our followers in on some of the news for 2018 very shortly. So stay tuned, and yeah, enjoy week 16. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas to those celebrating, and you'll hear from us soon. All right,
take care, everyone. Good luck this week.